Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Chav Gimel, and we are at the Mishnah, 14 lines from the bottom of daf Chav Beis Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chai Mahara ben Fega, Tamar bas Chasida from Arifka, Eliyahu Zeb ben Brindel, Mordechai Yisrael ben Esther, Gittel bas Chaya, Gedalia Eliezer ben Roiza, Malcolm Miriam bas Esther, Kahas ben Fega, and Baruch ben Rachel. So we're continuing to discuss the laws of Kiddush HaChodesh, and Kiddush HaChodesh, the way it was done once upon a time, which was that Beis Din would wait for two Edom to arrive to say that they saw the new moon. The Edom were cross-examined, and if they were deemed to be telling the truth, Beis Din would then be Mekadosh the Chodesh on the day that these two Edom saw the new moon. The Mishnah had discussed that once Beis Din determined when Rosh Chodesh was, they now had a challenge. They had to somehow spread the word and notify Yidden that were living far away. Appreciate that once upon a time, means of communication were not as simple as they are today. So they had to come up with some primitive way of notifying the Yidden in Golos all the way as far as Bavel, etc., etc., so that they would know when Rosh Chodesh is, which of course was critical because Tikkun HaMayadis, if you don't know when Rosh Chodesh is, you don't know when Yontif is going to be. So the Mishnah said, what did they do? And this was really the beginning of this whole sugya on daf Yud Ches Amid Aleph, al shisha chadoshim ha-shluchim yoytzim. What they would do is they would send out shluchim, stating that, as we're about to see, that's not always the way it was. Says the Mishnah, barishoyna, in the olden days, there was a different process that was used by Beis Din to notify the Yidden living b'chom l'koy moy shehem, when exactly Rosh Chodesh was. What they would do is they would light torches. Mishakil kalu akutim. Once the kutim got involved, hiskinu, they made a takana, shiu shluchin yoitzim, that instead of using torches, rather they should send human beings, they should send shluchim, says the Mishnah. Ketzad hoyu masiyim masuyos. So we just reference this old process of masiyim masuyos. It says the Mishnah, how exactly did it happen? They would bring poles of cedar, aruchin, they were very long. Vikonim, then they brought reeds. Vatzei shemen, balsam wood. Una irishal pishtam, bundles of flax. Vekoirich memeshicha, they would tie it with a rope. Va'ilu l'roi shahar, and they would go to the top of a mountain. Umatzis ben esaur, and they would light a fire. So they have this very big fire. It's also on the top of a very, very long pole. Umoylech umevi umaylu umoyrin. And they would wave it in every direction. Ad shuroya eschaveroi, shuhu oysa kem bahar ashen. And they had people on another mountain whose job it was to look out to see this fire that's waving in every direction. When they would see it, they would start doing the same thing. People on a third mountain would see that, they would start doing it. People on a fourth mountain would see what they were doing. So there was this chain reaction where there was some relay event taking place where the Yidden that were close to Yerushalayim, they would go on top of a mountain, they would start waving fire. The goal was for people far away to see it. They would notify the people after them, and somehow by doing that, everybody knew. Says the Mishnah more precisely, Me'ayin hoyimasiyim masuyas. So what were the exact locations? So it wasn't random. It was done very specifically. Mehara Mishcha. It all began on Harazesim. Hara Mishcha is Harazesim. L'Sartava. And this next group was in Sartava. So the Yidden on Hara Mishcha, they would notify the people on Sartava. Umi Sartava l'Grufina. Umi Grufina l'Chavron. Umi Chavron l'Beis Baltan. Umi Beis Baltan l'Ezaz. Umi Shom elomoy l'chomevi umay l'umayrid. Atcha yoroya kol ha-goyla l'fon of Kimedura Seish. And once word spread to Beis Baltan, they didn't have to spread it any further. Because from there, the entire Golos was able to be notified. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. It's impossible that every single Yid in the world was able to see what was going on in Beis Paltin. So we'll get to that soon. Either way, so the Mishnah began and said that even though al shisha chadashim ashluchin yoytzim, it wasn't always like that. But rather there was a time that it was done in a simpler way. Barishoyna hayu masiyin masuois. What happened was, mishakil kalu akutim, hiskinu sheyihu shluchim yoitzim. Says the Gemara, my mashma de masiyin lishno de yikutu. So the Gemara begins with a diuk, and that is masiyin masuois in our Mishnah means lighting a fire, and the Gemara is taken aback by the choice of words. Where do you find masiyin masuois meaning lighting a fire? So the Gemara says, the chsev, no, there's a precedent for it, it's a pasuk. It says, vayisoi. Yisraim David va'anoshav. U'metargaminim, the targum on that word va'yisraim is va'oiktinon David, that David lit a fire. So you see, the word va'yasiyim is miloshin, fire, and that's the word that the Tan of our Mishnah chose to use, barishayna hayu masiyin masuyois, that they used to light fires. Tanu Rabbanan, e masiyin masuyois, el ala chodesh, shenira bizmanu lakacha. The only time this process was followed, when it was followed, was for a chodesh that was nira bizmanai, meaning when Rish Chodesh was going to be on the 30th day, when the previous month was chaser, was 29 days, now Yoim Lamed is going to be Rish Chodesh, and this is a theme that we've seen very subtly throughout the Gemaras, that a proper Chodesh is 29 days. When they add a day, they're being ma'aber the Chodesh. Just like when you add a month to a year, you ma'aber the Shana, so too when you add a day to the month, you're being ma'aber the Chodesh. So says the Gemara, a braisa, that the only time they lit these fires was when the chodesh was near a bizmane. What does bizmane mean? They didn't have to be ma'aber the chodesh. It was seen on day 30. The kachay, the emosai masin. When did they do it? They did it late in the day. Meaning, it was impossible to notify the yidin b'chol mekoyme sheheim on day 30 if the moon was seen on day 30. They would have to wait until it's night outside, until it's dark. Like this, you'll be able to see the fire. Because otherwise, it's just going to be very hard to see it. So really, they were letting the Yidden know after the fact. So when the 30th day was Rosh Chodesh, that night, they went through this whole process. So like this, the Olam knows, oh, today was Rosh Chodesh. Well, if today was Rosh Chodesh, that means tomorrow's not going to be Rosh Chodesh. Says the Gemara, Lememra, what comes out from this Braisa? Very important halacha. That Chaser Avdinan, Amali Le'Avdinan, that the only time this process was followed was if the month was going to be a chaser, the month was going to be 29 days, Rosh Chodesh was going to be on the 30th day. However, if the month was going to be 30 days, Rosh Chodesh was going to be on the 31st day, they didn't do anything. And the truth is, by doing that, they'll understand. Meaning, if you see it on the night of the 31st, so that means the 30th day was Rosh Chodesh. If you don't see anything on the night of the 31st, that means the 31st day is Rosh Chodesh. So really, by picking one day and doing it for the chaser, that solves all the problems. Says the Gemara, my time. What's the reason they didn't also do it for the 31st day? Meaning, they could have done it for a Chodesh Chaser, and they could have done it for a Chodesh Mali as well. Now, it doesn't seem to be necessary, but at the same time, the Gemara says, is there a better reason why they didn't do it? And the Gemara says, yeah, because if they would have done it both times, they would have done it for a Chaser and a Mali, then there could have been a problem. How so? What would be if Rosh Chodesh was Chaser, and the 30th day was Erev Shabbos? Now, Emosai Avdi, when would they do this? Again, they can't do it on the 30th day, because it's day outside. They have to wait until it's night. Once it's night, it's Ben Ashmoshes, it's Rabbeinu Tam, Shabbos Kodesh. At that point, you can't light fires. This is not Doicha Shabbos. So when are you going to do it? Bafuki Shabbato. You're going to do it on Meitzoy Shabbos. Now, what's the problem? The Amrit Navinami Amole. Now, if you're gonna tell me that they used to light the fires, both if it was a chaser and was a mole, so now that you didn't galus, they see fires of flying all over the place on Matzah Shabbos. Now, also with Mitti, they're not gonna know what happened. Why Amri, they're gonna say, maybe Hai Chaser, who maybe this Chodesh was really a chaser. Meaning, what was Rosh Chodesh? It was on Friday. Hai Dali Oven, me asked. Well, so how come Friday night they didn't do this Mishum Dali Afshah? Because it's Chil Shabbos, they didn't have the option. Oy Dilma, but the problem is they're gonna have another possibility. Maybe Molehu, maybe really the Chodesh is Mali, u'bizman ayavdu, and they're doing it bizman. So being that's the case, so there was no way for them to go and do it both days, because if you're going to do it both days, you may end up finding yourself in a situation. Says the Gemara, fili aved, bein amole, u'bein chaser. Why couldn't they do this? Why couldn't they always do it for a Mali and for a chaser? What are you worried about? What happens if Rosh Chodesh falls on an Erev Shabbos? You're going to do a Matzah Shabbos, and Dayan's not going to know what it means. They're not going to know if we're doing a Matzah Shabbos because it was a chaser, you just couldn't do it on Friday night, or maybe you're doing it Matzah Shabbos because that's the Zman of Mole. So says the Gemara, what they could have done is they could have always done it on a Mole and a Chasen. Very simple workaround. If Rosh Chodesh falls on a Friday, don't do it. Very simple. So like this, Matzah Shabbos, they'll be looking out. If they see the fires, oh, that means tonight's Rosh Chodesh. If they don't see the fires, that means Rosh Chodesh was on Friday. So because of a situation where the 30th day is going to fall out on a Friday, you have to be mevatel all the masiyim, masuyos, for all the other Rosh Chodeshim. So the Gemara says, no. The reason is because finish the Gemara inside. The Miklu Rosh Chodesh Be'er of Shabbos Loi La'avid Klal. The Kivin Loi Adinan. The Kivin Loi Adinan Matzoy Shabbos. Being that they won't do Matzoy Shabbos. Vavdinan Amalei, and they usually do it on Amalei. Made a Yadi. The Chaser like this. No, what's a Chaser? Gemara says not. Filu Hachi Asul Lamedi. There's still a situation where this could be a problem. I mean, this is not perfect because Amri people will think Hi Malei. Maybe really this Chodesh was Malei. The Haidu Loi Avdi, and the reason they didn't do it was Asnuse Hu De Isnuse. People are going to think that maybe there was an oinus. Meaning the fact that they didn't light the torches is not necessarily going to be a raya that Rosh Chodesh was Friday. Because people will think, la'ayla, maybe Rosh Chodesh was on Matzoy Shabbos, but at Shabbos, but at the same time, there's this concern that maybe they'll think the reason there were no torches is because an oinus happened. So what's the oinus? So Rashi says, because it's Matzoy Shabbos, and Matzoy Shabbos comes after Shabbos. On Shabbos, sometimes this shichrus, shel nishta ha-Shabbos, people are a little bit hungover, and that can cause maybe an oinus to happen, and maybe they're not going to go ahead and do it. So the Gemara says, because of the situation, where what happens if Rosh Chodesh is Friday, then you're going to have to notify Matzoy Shabbos, and if you're notifying for chasr zamolis, people are not going to know if it's a chasr zamolis, and to not notify at all, not notifying is never a raya, because you could always assume maybe there was some that took place. So now you're going to end up with a little bit of a situation. So it's for that reason, the way they did it was, they would light it for the chasner, they didn't light it for the molis. Asks the Gemara one last question. Meaning, you have to pick one. You can't light both, because then you're going to have a problem when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Erev Shabbos. But why are you lighting it when it falls out on a chasner? Maybe do it when it's a mole. Meaning, make a tasty chaser, maybe do it for Mole. And if you look in Rashi, Tosis, they explain that just like you can make it work by lighting it once for the chaser, you can also make it work by lighting it once for the Mole. Amar Abaya said, the reason is, Mishum Bitul Melacha La'am Shneyam. The reason is because the Chacham was sensitive to the fact that the Yidden have to go to work to make Parnasa, and if you're going to keep them pending, they're going to be in limbo trying to figure out what exactly Rosh Chodesh is, they're going to end up missing 2 days of work. So what does this mean? What it means is that if you're going to notify the Chevra when it's a chaser, so like this, every single time it's a chaser, like this, they'll know 24 hours into this 48-hour period of limbo when exactly Rosh Chodesh was. So they'll know the night of the chaser that today was Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so today is Rosh Chodesh. No, tomorrow's not Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow we can go to work. However, if you're going to always do it on a mole, so they're never going to know by the chaser. They're never going to find out when Rosh Chodesh was until after the second day. It's like this, they're going to end up missing 2 days of work. And because they're going to end up missing 2 days of work, so Pasha, to be sensitive to that, it makes more sense to notify them on the night of the 30 than to notify them on the night of the 31. Meaning, just explain this a little better. As it relates to Yontif, why are we notifying them? Not that they should know when Rosh Chodesh is, we're even telling them after it's Rosh Chodesh already. The reason we're notifying them is like this, don't know when Yontif is. This is all a play for Yontif. So it really doesn't make a difference if we do it when it's Mali, do it, it's Chaser. Doesn't make a difference if you do it the night of 30, the night of 31. The answer is no, but there's a sensitivity here. The sensitivity is we want the Yidden to know already when Rosh Chodesh is. Because if they're always going to have to wait until after the 31st to know when Rosh Chodesh is, misafik, they won't be working on day 30, and they won't be working on day 31 either. Like this, just notify them in the event Rosh Chodesh is on the 30th, right that night. It's like this, day 31, they can go to work. Now, in a chanami, if it's a mole, they won't be able to go to work until after day 31 anyways. But at least 6 out of the 12 months usually is a chaser, and for those 6 months, they won't have to be vato malacha 2 days. Now, there's a very interesting Rashi and Tosfos Machloikis right here, as it relates to this Gemara, it's going to be the topic of the raid. But just to mention it, Rashi says that what kind of bitul malacha is the Gemara talking about? We're worried about bitul malacha? Rosh Chodesh. You're not allowed to work on Rosh Chodesh? So Rashi says, of course you're allowed to work on Rosh Chodesh. However, one of the 12 months, Rosh Chodesh is a day you're not allowed to work. And that is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Because Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. And we take for granted Rosh Hashanah, 2 days, Sveik of the Yomas, Yom HaRichta. So that's something that has to be revisited at some point. But the point is, Rashi says that the sensitivity of Chazal was for that 1 month Chodesh Tishrei. And that is because on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's 2 days. And as a result, why should the Yidden have to miss out 2 days of work? So the Bitul Melacha La'am of Shnei Yomim is not really every Rosh Chodesh. It's only in a gay Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos says it's a daichik, and because of that, Tosfos says a different pshat than based on a Gemara, Masechtas Megillah, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, that there is a concept of an Isser Malach on Rosh Chodesh, and again, a lot more about that in the raid. Says the Gemara, Vaidikates, Tayyim, Masiyim, Masuyos, Mevi, and Klunzes. So the Mishnah said, what did they do? they would take poles of cedar and they would light a torch on top of it. These poles are very, very long, and that's the way they would relay the message all the way to the Yidden living in Gauls. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Dalamine Arozanim. There are four different types of cedars: Erez, Kasroim, Eitz Shemen, Uveroish. Those are the names. Says the Gemara, Kasroim, Amar Rav. Rav said Adra. This is referring to the Adra tree. Rashi quotes the Gemara, Masechtas Beya, Daf Tezvav, where the Gemara says, if somebody, Haroitza Sheyis Kayim Nechas, if somebody wants to preserve his Nechasim, Yita Behen Adar, he should plant this Adra tree. Either way, the Kasroim, it's a certain type of cedar. That's what this Adar, that's what this tree is. The Verab Sheila Amri, Mavliga. They said, no, you want to know what Kasroim is? It's Mavliga. Amri, some say Zugulmish. Either way, Rav Yehuda said there's four different types of cedar trees. So please, the Rabbi Barafuna, it's not like something Rabbi Barafuna, it's Rabbi Barafuna, Amri Bey Rab. Asara Mine Arozamim. They say in the Yeshiva Rab that there were 10 types of cedars. Shenemar Etein Bamidbar Erez Shita Vahadaz Ve'et Shemen Osim Ba'arava Beroish Tidar Ve'ta'ashro Yachtav. So if you go through that pasuk a little bit more carefully, Erez is one, Shita is two, Hadas is three, Eitz Shemen is four, Beroish is five, Tidar is six, Visashar is seven. Says the Gemara, what are these seven things? Erez is Arza, that's cedar. Shita is Tornisa. Rashi says Pinyai Balaz, it's pine. Hadas is Asa, of the Dalad Minim fame. Eitz Shemen is Afarsim, that's balsam. Beroish is Barta, Tidar is Shaga, Tasher is Shurivna. Either way, says the Gemara, obviously, Rabbi Barafuna disagrees with Rafuna, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said Dalet Minei Arozim, and Rabbi Barafuna said 10 Minei Arozim. And what's his makar from a pasuk that lists how many types of Arozim? Seven. Frank the Gemara, Hanishavahava. Doesn't make sense. 10 Minei Arozim because the pasuk says seven. So the Gemara says you have to know the rest of the story. Kiyosa Rav Dimi Yomar, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He said over a lot of intense halachas. Yeah, also shared some divrei agada that they said in Eretz Yisrael. And he said, Oisifu Aleim, they were Moisef another three. Aloinin, Almoinin and Almoigim. Aloinim are putmi, Almoinim are bluti, Almoigim are kosiso, which is coral. The Gemara is going to talk about that in a second. Igadami, some say, Aroinim, Armoinim and Almoinim, Aroinim are, Armoinim duvi, Almoigim kosiso. So again, we just mentioned kosiso. Kosiso is coral, if you look in Rashi. Min eitz ha'oila bekarka. It's a plant that grows bekarka hayam on the bottom of the sea, ushmoy, coral. Either way, so it's a coral. That's what this almoigim is. On that note, says the Gemara, the pasuk says, "Vetzi ader lo yavrenu." So this pasuk is a pasuk in Yeshaya. The general context is something that comes up a lot in Daf Yomi, comes up a lot in Shas, which is that the Gemara says, "La'asad lava Yecheskel said nevuah about a stream, about a river that's going to emerge from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it's going to start off very narrow, and it's going to get wider and wider and wider, and it's going to get to the point that it's going to be so wide that if it's even a very, very large ship is not going to be able to cross over these waters. They're going to be so intense." So the Gemara says, what exactly is this Tzi Adar that even that won't be able to pass over to Amar Rav? Rav said, Zuburni Gedoyla. It's a Sfina, Rashi says, Shekoyrim, Druman, but whatever, some very, very large ship. Hechi Avdu. So what was this ship made for? That's where this is going to tie into the coral. Maisi Shis Alfi Gavri, they would bring 6,000 people, but Tracy Archishasa, and they would work for 12 months. So 6,000 people are working on this ship for 12 months. Rami Dasam say, Tracy Alfi Gavri was 12,000 people, but Shisa Yarchishasa for 6 months. Fatani Lo Chala. What did they do? They would take sand, and they would put sand into this boat, obviously very, very big. You have 6,000 people working for 12 months or 12,000 for 6 months. Either way, this is pretty intense. Adeshachna, until this massive boat would have so much sand in it that it would be weighed down to the bottom of the sea. Now, Venoch is Bar Amuroi. Then Bar Amuroi would come. So Rashi says, these are people that are melumid loshut ben aharis. They know how to swim well. Divers or professional swimmers. The Kata, they would go underground and they would take Atuni de Kisna, they would take flax, the Kasis, and they would tie it onto Kasis, onto coral. The Kata will be sfint, and the other side of these ropes, very heavy ropes, would be tied to a ship. The Notli Chala, then they would start removing the Chala. Now, the objective over here was to attach this very, very, very large boat to the coral. And the reason is because they want the boat to rip the coral out of the ground. So they would now take, they would start removing the sand. Now, as they remove the sand, Vashadi Lavroi, they throw it away. The boat starts becoming lighter and lighter and lighter. It was all the way to the bottom of the ground. Now it's going to start rising. And as it's going to rise, it's going to rip the coral out of the ground. That's the concept. The kama de medalia akro umasya. And the more they took out, the more it was oiker umachlef. And they would take this coral. It was so valuable. They were able to trade it al chad train bekaspa. So one measure, whatever the measure was, of this, 1 ounce of this coral is the equivalent of 2 of silver, meaning it was worth double what silver is worth. Plus, Parvasa Havin. The Gemara says there were 3 ports where they used to do this. Parvasa, we're reading all these French Rashis, Port de Balaz. So Rashi says again, ports. So Plas Parvasa Havin. There were 3 ports. Parti Beirumoy, 2 were in, by the Romans. Rashi actually says, not Amuroi, but the Amoira. Either way, the Chada, the Bay Parsoi, one was by the Persians, the Bay Rumoi, Maskin Kosiso. That's what they would take the coral from. The Bay Parsoi, the Persians were Maskin Marganaisa. They would take pearls and Makari. That one they would call Parvasa the Mishamig. Rashi said, Mishamig is Nomal Shal Malucha, because pearls came from there, so it was more Malchistic. Either way, we continue with our digression. Amar Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Yochan said, Kol Shita Vashita Shanatlun, Nachrim Yushalayim. Every single cedar tree that the Nachrim took from Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asir HaLoh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eventually going to return to Eretz Yisrael. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Etein Bamidbar Erez. That's the Pasuk that we just quoted. Shita, the Ein Midbar El Yerushalayim. Usually you think of the Midbar, you think of the Midbar. This Midbar is Yerushalayim, right? The Yidden were in the Midbar for 40 years. They couldn't enter Yerushalayim. But this Midbar is Yerushalayim. Shenema, Tzion Midbar HaYasa. Am Rabbi Yoichan, Rabbi Yoichan said, Kalalei Metayim Vein Amalam. Anyone who learns Torah doesn't teach Torah. Doim El HaHadas Bamidbar. He's like a Hadas in the Midbar. A hadas is something that people can benefit from. But if it's in the midbar, nobody knows it's there. Nobody has any hanah from it. So if somebody learns Torah, but he doesn't teach it, so he's a hadas. I'll be a hadas by midbar, because no one's benefiting. Ikad Amri, some say, and he teaches Torah in a place where there are no Tamid Chacham, and doim el hadas by midbar, just the opposite. Then he's so chashav, he's so valuable, he's the only one teaching. He's so valuable, and he's chavav, he's like the hadas in the midbar, which if somebody is in the midbar and he would stumble upon a hadas, it would be kamaitz shalarav. I'm Rabbi Yochan. Rabbi Yochan said on this note, oy lehem lo evdekei chavim, She'ein lehem takana. Woe is to the Ovdei Chachamim that they have no takana. Meaning, the Ovdei Chachamim, they'll never be able to unwind what they did. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Tachas ha-nechoshes avizav, v'tachas ha-barzel avikesef, v'tachas ha-eitzim nechoshes, v'tachas ha-avonim barzel. Meaning, Hashem says, the Umay Sa'olim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but it's replaceable. The nechoshes, I could even replace with gold. We could upgrade it. The barzel with kesef. The eitzim with nechoshes. The avonim barzel. Oh, but tachas Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirov. May mevin. But how are we going to replace Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirov? Aleihu maimer. And it's regarding them that the pasuk says, v'nikesi domam loy nikesi. Rashi. If I want to cleanse the akum from the averus that they did, I could. Meaning, v'nikesi. There's a concept Hashem says, I could be menaka the akum from all the terrible things that they did to the Jews. But the domam loy nikesi. And what's it referring specifically to? It's referring to Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov. Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov, there I can't in any way be menaka the Umay Sa'ima for what they did, because there's no replacement. Tachas anachosh is zav. Yeah, tachas abarzal kesef. Oh, but tachas Rabbi Akiva vechaverov, my mevim. So just to stop for 1 second, what's this referring to? Tachas Rabbi Akiva mechaverov. So it's pashut. It's referring to the Asar Arugei Malchus. The Asar Arugei Malchus, these were the 10 martyrs, quote unquote, that were killed circa shortly after Churban Bayesheni. And it was a very, very big deal. Many chazals that talk about it. And in this Gemara, the Asar Arugei Malchus are referred to as Rabbi Akiva Mechaverov. And really what you see from this Gemara is how great Rabbi Akiva was. Because even though these were G'doyle Yoylam Arzei Levanoin, literally, pun intended, in today's daf, that's what the Asar Arugei Malchus were. But at the same time, they go down as Rabbi Akiva Mechaverov, which just tells you how great Rabbi Akiva was, because it's not taking away anything from the other 9 of the Asar, Rabbi Chinim Ben Tradin, Rabbi Chinim Skana Kehane maybe, etc., etc. It's the last time we really got into this. But the point is from the fact that we use a Lashon of Tachas Rabbi Akiva Mechaverov, that tells us everything you have to know. So just to elaborate on this for a moment, and that is, we all know the Gemara. The Gemara Masechtas Menachos Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis. But the Gemara says, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, B'shosh Olam Moshe L'Amorim, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, Matzoy LaKadosh Baruch Hu SheYoshev, V'Koshe K'sorim L'Oisiyos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavi Yochel, was tying crowns to the Oisiyos of the Torah. Amal Afanov, Ribayna Shalayla, Mima Akiv Al Yadcha, why are you doing this? Amal Loi, so Hashem told him, Adam Echad Yesh, there's a person, Sha'asid Liyos Besoif Kamadoiris. He's going to live at the end of many generations, Vakiva Ben Yosef Shemoy, Sha'asid Lidroish, I'll call Kutz Vekutz, Tilim Tilim Shal Halachis. There's going to be a Yid, his name is Akiva Ben Yosef, and he's going to darshan Halachis on these Ksarim. This is Torah. It's gufei halachos, and that's why I'm doing this. And we know the rest of the story, where Hashem says, wow, let me see Rabbi Akiva. He shows him to him, and then he says, let me see what his end is going to be, and he sees how the Roman are torturing him. Zu teira v'zu schara shtoi kach ala lefanei b'machshav. But Rabbi Akiva was so great that even Moshe Rabbeinu was impressed when he saw him. He couldn't believe what he saw. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems like, didn't really know what to do with these ksarim. But Rabbi Akiva, yeah. And the truth is, it's enough in a medrash. The medrash is in Parshas Chukas, and the medrash is talking about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the medrash says that as great as Moshe Rabbeinu was, but dvarim shalai niglu l'moshe, niglu l'Rabbi Akiva mechaveirav. There were things that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, but they were neskala to Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav. The pasuk says, v'chol yikar ro'aso enoi, ze Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav. The Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav saw kol yikar. Om Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Remesh, akol aporis, betelos, v'shachol kayem ezayin shom. This is another example of where you find this idea of Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav. It's talking about the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. And dvarim shalai niglu l'moshe, niglu l'Rabbi Akiva mechaveirav. So just to come a little full circle here, we learned the Gemara the other day on Daf Chaf Aleph on the days, where the Gemara says that the world was created with Nun Sharei Bina. The Kula Nitnu L'Moshe Chasar Echad. Shenema, the Pasuk says, V'atechasreyu Ma'at Me'elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu was Zoicha to Nun Sharei Bina. He never arrived at the 50th Shar. But the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that even though Moshe Rabbeinu never achieved the 50th Shar, but Rabbi Akiva did achieve the 50th Shar. And that's why you find the Gemara Menachos Daf Chavtes, where Moshe Rabbeinu is nispoil from Rabbi Akiva. And it seems like there's things that Rabbi Akiva is going to be able to darshan that eluded even Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to know what that means. But that's what it sounds like. And the Medrash says it clearly. Dvarim shalai niglu l'moshe, niglu l'Rabbi Akiva mechaveirav. And the Chidon, as Pesach Einayim says, that he saw from the Kadmoinim that said, Remez Ladavar. What's the pasuk that the Medrash quoted? V'chol yikar ra'aso enoi, ze Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirov. V'chol, kol, is chof lam, and it's gematria 50. And that's a Remez, Rabbi Akiva was zoicha to the 50th Shar. Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Memtes Shar of Bina. Rabbi Akiva was v'kol yikar rasa inoy. He was zoicha to the Shar. No, we once spoke out from Tzadik HaKoyen that Moshe Rabbeinu only reached the Shar Memtes. What could be greater than the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu? So you have these chazals, but what can possibly be greater? How could Moshe Rabbeinu have not been perfect? What does it mean that the chasreo Mount Melikim? So Rav Tzadik in Parshas Voschanan says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't reach the Shar Nun. You know why? Because the Shar Nun is miyuchid for Balei Tshuva. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu with all his madregos, but he didn't have the koyach of tshuva, because he never had to come on to tshuva. But Moshe Rabbeinu, because he didn't have the koyach of the Baal tshuva, therefore he couldn't reach the Shar Nun. The Shar Nun is miyuchid for the Mamakim Shabbali Tshuva Maimdan. Rabbi Akiva did have the Koyach of Tshuva. And that's why Rabbi Akiva was able to reach the Shar Nun. But either way, Snok the Gemara Vaitim. Mayin Hoy Masi Masuyo is mi base Baltan. So then the Mishnah goes on and it gave us all the landmarks where everything was set up. My base Baltan. Amar Rav, Rav said, Zu Biram, it's referring to Biram, my Goyla, okay. So it says that they had this relay, and there's a few locations that I mentioned, and then finally they came to Beis Baltan, and once they started waving Beis Baltan, the whole Golas, everybody knew. What does that mean? The whole Golas knew? What is it? How's that even possible? So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Zu Pumpadisa. What it means is Pumpadisa. So Pumpadisa at that time, at the time that this was being discussed, was the epicenter of where all the Jews in Babel were. So once they found that in Pumpadisa, so then already it was easy for them to get the word out. It's like this, by the time Yontif came around, everybody would know what they have to know. But clearly there must have been people far away from Pumpadisa that maybe would have never found out. But at the same time, as it relates to this relay, they would notify the Yidden of Pumpadisa, and then already it was more ground roots, everybody found out from there. So the Gemara, Maikim Madura Seish. So there was a Madura Seish. What was this Madura Seish? So it sounds like maybe one person holding a pole. The Gemara says, Tana, no, we learned to the Brisa, Kolechad V'Echad Noita Lavuka Biyadoi, Fa'oila L'Roish Gagoi. Meaning everybody got involved. You can imagine what the scene is. You're in Pompadour, everybody's standing with torches, they're waving it. It must have been beautiful. But either way, kol echad ve'echad noita lavuka biyadai ve'oila l'reish k'agat. Time to Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, af charim v'chayir v'geda v'chavrisa. So Rav Shimon ben Elazar added three locations to what the Mishnah said. Now the Gemara says it was a machloek, is where Rav Shimon ben Elazar meant. Ikad amri some say bein yu v'ni havakami. These places were in between Hara Mishcha and Pompadour. So we just have a few places listed, but there were some other places as well. Some say, no, this was another route. Rashi says it was another way to get to Bavel. So this was following another route. So there was the route that was mentioned by the Mishnah, but there was really another way. So why did the Mishnah mention both routes? According to the Ikad Amri, Marachash of the Aigisa. For whatever reason, the Tanit Mishnah didn't feel he wanted to say it. Amr Rabbi Yochanan said, Ben Kol Achas V'Achash Meinu Parsois. Between all these locations, there were eight parasites. So the Gemara says, if you do the math, there are five places that are mentioned in the Mishnah. You have Hara Mishcha, Sartava, Grufina, Chavron, and Beis Balbi. If there's five locations, that means there's four gaps between points one and two, two and three, three and four, four and five. Based on that, if each one is eight parasites, a kama havalu, this is easy math, talsam v'tartin, it's going to be 32. It's not true. Do the math. Try driving from Eretz Yisrael to Pompadour or to the last, to Beis Balten. It's going to be more than 32 parasites. Amar Abaye said, istatume istatam luhudarki. Now, the roads got all plugged, and as a result, you can't go that way. The Chsiv, the Pasuk says that Lochein hineni soch es darkech basirim v'godarti es gedera u'nesivayseh lo simtza. This is one of the klolos of Shea Perek Beis, that the roads would be in a way where you'd have to start taking the long scenic route in order to get from one place you want to get to. Rav Nachum at Yitzchak Amam Yochi had a different Pasuk. The Chsiv, the Pasuk says in Eicha, godar derochai begozis nesivayseh iva, that even the roads got all blocked and backed up, meaning the point is that as the crow flies, it's 32 parsois. But if you're going to start getting involved with traffic and other situations, it's going to end up being a lot longer. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. There was a very large chatz in Yerushalayim, Ubeis Yazik, Hoyis in the grass. And it was called Beis Yazik. L'sham kol Edom Skansen. All the Edom that wanted to come testify and say they saw the new moon, that's where they would come. So they would all congregate there. Ubezdin bait kenaisim sham. Ubezdin would do the bedikas. There were sudas gedolos oisim lahem, and they would prepare big meals bishvil shiyu regilim love, because they wanted people to come. So to incentivize people to come, so you have to make it worthwhile. It's like this: you get a good meal, etc. In the olden days, people would come and they were there the whole day. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi says it's referring to where people came on Shabbos. If somebody came on Shabbos and they walked outside the tchum, so the halacha is to come notify Bezdin, you're allowed to walk outside the tchum. That's the good news. The bad news is, once you come to Bezdin, you're stuck. Because the halacha is any person that finds himself outside the tchum, ain lo yala arba amos. He's not allowed to walk outside the arba amos. That was the tshuva we spoke about with the Satmarav and Rabbi Shua Mendel Arenberg with the cast in the train, right? Even if a person, beheter or be'oines, finds himself outside the tchum, but the halacha is, all you have is dalan amos. So they would stand there, and they had nowhere to go. Hiskin, Rabbi Gamliel Azokin was mesakein, sheyuhu mehalchen alpayim amo l'chol ruach, that you should be able to walk alpayim amo l'chol ruach, meaning you should reset your tchum as if you would have been there from the beginning of Shabbos. Like this, you won't be stuck. And the reason he did that is because he just wanted to make sure people would come. He was afraid that if you're going to come, you're going to show up, and now you're stuck. You can't move outside of your Dalet Amos. It's not a geshmaka way to spend the Shabbos. So his king, Rabbi Gamliel Azokin, this is an old takana, that's the way you should do it. This takana he made wasn't only meant for them, but there were other people that were incorporated in this. El af chachama habaliyale, a midwife that's coming to help a woman give birth. Habala hatzman adleik, or someone that came to help a yid from a fire. Umin agayis, or the troops had attacked and they're coming to help. Umin hanar hatzala, etc., etc. Umin amapoyles, harayilu kantra ir. They're also considered kantra ir. V'yesh amapayim l'chol ruach, even though they went outside the tchum and really based on the halachas of tchum, and they should be stuck inside that dalet amos. But at the same time, just to make sure that these people want to do this again in the future, we give them alpayim amal l'chol ruach. So the Mishnah said there was a chatzah gedoyla. It was in Yerushalayim. It was called Beis Ya'azik. So the Gemara has one comment on this Mishnah, and it's a rather technical comment, and that is, Ibay Elohu, Beis Ya'azik Tanan, or Beis Yazik Tanan? Mitan Ayin to Ananayin. Sagt die Gemara, Beis Yazik Tanan. And if that's the case, Lishna Ma'alyu, it probably comes from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Vayaskeyu Vayisakleyu. And Vayaskeyu means to build a fence. And that's a Lishna Ma'alyu. It would seem to suggest that this Chatz Gedayla, it was protected, it was a nice fence, it was well groomed. Oydomo, Beis Yazik Tanan. And if that's the case, Lishna de Tsa'aruhu, Kedachseva, who Aser Ba'azikin, he's tied in ropes. Meaning, the Mishnah says this Chatz was known as Beis Yazik. Was it called Beis Yazik because it was a geshmaka place? Miloshim vayaskeyu? Or was it called Beis Yazik because it was a very uncomfortable place? Because of the loshin of who aser ba'azikin. Amar Abaya. So Abaya said, I don't have a mufurish araya, but a little bit of an inference maybe we do have, because Tashma, the Mishnah said, Sudais gedoylois hayu oisim lehem shan. They would prepare big meals. Why? K'dei sheyu regilim lavoi. It's like this, the people would be ruggled to come. What do you see from here? Zok Rashi, alma lehavalu tzaira. So you see, they went out of their way to make it comfortable. So you're going to tell me they prepared big meals, but at the same time it was uncomfortable. But the Gemara says, not muchachtum utarta hava avdabahu. Could be they were both true. Could be on the one hand it was comfortable, but then again it was also a little bit uncomfortable. Ayin Rashi, Ayin Toisvis. But either way, we will stop here. So as it relates to today's raid, which is going to be very much related to today's daf, but also more generally, related to Rosh Chodesh. So one of the themes of the Dafin that we're learning right now is the concept of Rosh Chodesh, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, how best to determine when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. And as we've seen, that the primary reason that it was so important to know when Rosh Chodesh is simply to know when Yontif. It's not so important to know when Rosh Chodesh is. In fact, the Yidden and the Gauls, they didn't even know when Rosh Chodesh was. They'd always find out a day late and a dollar short. But at the same time, there is some significance to Rosh Chodesh. I think it's worth taking a step back and just exploring a little bit better, understanding in a more mevugar digger way what exactly Rosh Chodesh is. Now, the truth is that there's a whole Hilchas Rosh Chodesh in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Aruch Chaim. It starts Simen Tov Yud Zayin, and it ends Simen Tov Chav Ches. Simen Ladavar, it's 12 simanim. But there's 12 simanim in Shulchan Aruch that talk about Rosh Chodesh. And the truth is, if you go through the halachos, so 12 simanim, that means there's a lot that's being talked about. Are you allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh? Dinei Avelos on Rosh Chodesh. There's a halacha that there's a mitzvah to be marbe besuda on Rosh Chodesh. You have the whole Hilchas Tefillah as it relates to Rosh Chodesh. Yalav Yavoy, Kriyas HaTorah, Mosif. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you say Atni Yetzarta. You say Hallel. Even when you bench, you say Yalav Yavoy. Hilchas Kiddush Levana is mentioned in Rosh Chodesh. The whole concept of Lo Yadu Roish and different Yomim Tovim, they have to fall out on certain days. They can fall out on other days. That's also mentioned in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. So it's rather light, short simanim, but there's 12 simanim in Shulchan Aruch as it relates to Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. But as it relates to tonight, the first halacha in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, it's the first simen, Uboy Sif Echad, says as follows. Rosh Chodesh Mutter Basias Malach. Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to do malach on Rosh Chodesh. However, the hanoshim shenoyagoy shaloy lasis by malacha. But the women who have the minig not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, says the mechaber who minig toiv. It's a good minig. Says the Rama, v'ma minig lasis mikzas malachos. Let's say the minig is to do some malachos, v'loy lasis kitzasam, and not to do others. Azlina basra minig, then you should follow that minig. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Rosh Chodesh mutter basias malach. You're allowed to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. However, there is an idea that women don't do malacha, and really they should just follow the minigs. If the minig is for them to do malacha, and if the minig is for them not to, then they shouldn't. And the Rama adds, if the minig is to do some and not do others, that also makes sense. Everything goes. Whatever the minig is, that's something that you should do. But a discussion, a whole simon in Shulchan Aruch, a very short simon, but a whole simon in Shulchan Aruch discussing the idea of doing malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So what's the rest of the story? What's this all about? Yeah, no, only the women. So really, it begins with a Gemara in Masechtas Megillah, Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara over there was discussing how many people are Oyla L'Torah on a Tainis Tzibur. That's the discussion. How many people are Oyla L'Torah on a Tainis Tzibur? So we know sometimes three people are Oyla L'Torah, like Mondays and Thursdays. Sometimes you have four, like Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes you have five, Yontif. Sometimes six, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos, You have seven, unhoisophis. But the bottom line is that there's different times that you read from the Torah, you have different people that are being goyla. So the question was, how many people are goyla by Taina Sibra? So the Gemara, on the top of Chav Beis Amid Beis, says, Toshma, I'll bring you a raya from a braisa. The braisa says, Zeh klal, this is the rule. Kol sheyesh by bitul melacha la'am. Any day that involves bitul melacha, meaning today you're allowed to work. Kigoyin, Taina Sibra v'tishnabav, Koyrin Gimel. So only three people are oila l'tayra. Why? You don't want to add more people, because it's going to take away from people's ability to work. V'she'im by bitul melacha la'am. However, if it's a day that people are not working, kigoyin, Rosh Chodesh and the Chol Shamayit, such as Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed. Chol Hamoed, Rashi says, you're only allowed to do malacha if it's a davar of it. So Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, we are not allowed to do malacha. Kairin Dalet, then you have a little bit more time. So the Gemara says, Shema Mina, this raya is a braisa. I mean, this braisa is a raya, because you see from here clearly that a Taina Sibur, being that it's a day that is no bitul malacha la'am, because you're allowed to work on a Taina Sibur. So how many people are oila l'tayra? Three people. And that's the halacha. But the bottom line is, the Gemara wrote a braisa, that the braisa said that there's sometimes three people are oila, sometimes four people are oila. What does it depend on? It depends on whether there's bitul melacha la'am or there's no bitul melacha la'am. V'she'em by bitul melacha la'am, kigoyin. Rosh Chodesh and v'chaylo shamay kairin dalet. In other words, Rosh Chodesh, you're not allowed to work. And because you're not allowed to work, so you have time for another aliyah in the morning. Why? Because the life's nish samar, but anyways, says Rashi and Tosfos, right here. It's clear from the Gemara that in Rosh Chodesh there's an issa to do malach. There's no bit of malach. So the Rishonim ask from another Gemara, a Gemara Mesechtes Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there was discussing whether you're allowed to do malach on Chol Hamoed. So the Gemara brings a braisa, and in the middle of a long braisa, so the Gemara says like this, just one excerpt, we can't go through the whole braisa. Says the Gemara, Rosh Chodesh Yoichiach. Rosh Chodesh should be a raya. Why? Sheyesh by carbon musaf. Because there's a carbon musaf on Rosh Chodesh. That is important in that sugya. Umutter basiyas malacha. And you let it do malacha. So the Gemara says, Malu Rosh Chodesh, etc. Frek, Rashi, and Tosfos have two Gemaras that associate each other. Have Gemara Mesechtes Megillah Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that four people can be oil the Torah on Rosh Chodesh, because there's no bit of malacha alone, because people are now working on Rosh Chodesh anyways. Then have a Gemara Chagig Daf Yud Chesem and Aleph, where the Gemara says very clearly, Rosh Chodesh Yechiyach, Sheyesh by Karben Moshe, Vemut Basiyas Malacha. So which one is it? Are you allowed to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh? Are you not allowed to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh? So Rashi and Tosfos, Chagig Yud Ches, Megillah Chaf Beis, today's Daf, Rosh Hashanah Chav Gimel, they all say like kasha. Kan benoshim, kan be'anoshim. Women don't do malach on Rosh Chodesh. Men are allowed to do malach on Rosh Chodesh. Very, very surprising answer. The teretz to the steer in these gemaras is one gemara is discussing froyin, and the other gemara is discussing the manna. Noshim are aser basiyas malach. And that's what the Gemara means, interestingly, when it says in Megillah Chaf Kedeis Amud Beis that there could be another oil of the Torah. Why? Because women, anyways, are not working, so there's no bitul malach alone, so that affects the men that are davening and listening to Kriyas HaTorah. So ayin b'achroinim. But that's what Tosfos says, that the point is that they were dealing with women, and women have no bitul malacha, because women don't work on Rosh Chodesh. As opposed to the Gemara Chagiga Yud Chesem and Aleph, where the Gemara says, Rosh Chodesh Yechiyach, Sheyesh by Karben Musaf, Umutte Basiyas Malach. Talk about men. Men are allowed to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So what does this mean? Men are mutter, but women are aser. So the rest of the story is that the Rishonim, they say that the makar to this is a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is discussing the events of the Chet HaEgel. And we know that as soon as the Yidden wanted to bring a Chet HaEgel, so Aharon went to the Yidden and he said, go to your wives and ask your wives for their jewelry. I'm going to take their jewelry and I'm going to make this all work out. Says the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Shamu Hanashim Leiratzu. The women heard this, they weren't agreeable. For like, Kiblu Aleim Litin Nismein Levat Leim. They didn't want to give their jewelry to their husbands. Ela Amru Lahem, they told them, Lasois Shikutz Vitoyeva She'im Bay Koyach Lahatzel Loi Nishma Lochem. I have no interest. Absolutely, we have no interest in doing anything like this. The Nasan Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Scharim Bayu Mazeh. Says the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded the women in this world. Shehem Hesham Reis Roshei Chodoshim Yoisem Eno Anoshim. They got the Yontif of Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh is something that they have shaykhis to more than the men. V'nasam schar leilam haba. And not just that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward the women in leilam haba. Shehin asidois le'eschadesh k'may roshay chadashim. Because the women are going to be mischadesh k'may roshay chadashim. Shenember hamaspia batoiv edyech. And the women, they're going to come back to their youth. La'as l'avay. And this is because Rish Chodesh is more shaykh to them. And just like Rish Chodesh, what's the concept? You have the Moilid, and then it starts all over again. The women are going to be Nischadish again. And this is a special reward that they got for the fact that they didn't want to play any role in the Chet HaEgel. So it's a fascinating Pirk of the Rebbe Eliezer. The Pirk of the Rebbe Eliezer says that the women didn't want to play a role in the Chet HaEgel, and because of that, they were rewarded in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. The reward that they got in Olam Hazeh was Now the truth is a little bit unclear what the midah keneged midah is. So if you look in the Torah, in the beginning of Hilchos Rosh Chodesh and the Bach, they explain that really, Rosh Chodesh was supposed to be a Yantav. That was the initial plan. And the Torah explains, we have Sholish Regalim. And the Sholish Regalim that we have are keneged the three of us. Pesach is keneged Avram, Shavuos is keneged Yitzchak, and Sukkos is keneged Yaakov. The truth is, there was supposed to be another 12 Yomim Tovim keneged the 12 Shvatim. And every single Rosh Chodesh was supposed to be a Yantav. What happened was, there was a Chet HaEgel. And because of the Chet HaEgel, the Yidden lost Rosh Chodesh, the women never were included in the Chet HaEgel, and therefore they didn't lose Rosh Chodesh. Since not the Pshat, Hashem said, I'm going to create a Yontif and give it to the women, Mida Keneged Mida, because of the fact they didn't want to get involved in the Chet HaEgel. It was just the opposite. It was a Yontif. It was taken away from the men. It just wasn't taken away from the women. You know, the Vilna Gaon, and this is, if you have the Chumash Agra, so it's in Parshas Kisisa, but the Pasuk says, so there's a Medrash Pliya. The Medrash is talking about the Chet HaEgel, and the Medrash says that Hado d'chsev Chamisha Bokra Yishalim Tachas Hashar. So the Pasuk says Vayasu b'nei Levi k'dvar Moshe, and after the Chet HaEgel Vayipal Nina'am Vayoy Mahuk Tishloishas Alfish. So how many Yidden died by the Chet HaEgel? How many people were killed? 3,000 men. Vayasu b'nei Levi k'dvar Moshe Vayipal Nina'am Vayoy Mahuk Tishloishas Alfish. Says the Medrash Hado d'chsev Chamisha Bokra Yishalim Tachas Hashar. That's a Medrash Pliya. Chamisha Bokra Yishalim Tachas Hashar. It's a Shmois Rabba, but it's a Medrash Pliya. So the question is, what does this mean? So the Vilna Gaon said a Dover Nifla. He said, the Pasuk says in Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech said, Adam Echad Me'elef Matzasi. Man, I was able to find 1 out of 1,000. Of a V'isha B'chol Eila Loi Matzasi. A woman I couldn't even find Echad Me'elef. Advar Matikin. But Adam Echad Me'elef Matzasi. V'isha B'chol Eila Loi Matzasi. Said the Vilna Gaon that Adam Echad Me'elef was referring to the Maisa Egel. The Maisa Egel, 1 out of 1,000 sinned by the Maisa Egel. Oh, but then that's the Echad Me'elef Matzasi. Oh, but the Isha Bechol Eila Loi Matzasi, because the women were never nichshal in the Chet HaEgel. And Remez Ladavar, Eila was the word that the Yidden used. The Eila Lehecha Yisrael. So the Echad Me'elef there wasn't one woman that said Eila Lehecha Yisrael, because the women weren't nichshol in the Chet HaEgel. So said the Vilna Gaon. So it comes out, how many Yidden were nichshol in the Chet HaEgel? If you do the math, how many Yidden was it? It was 1 in 1,000. How many Yidden? 600,000. 1/1,000 of 600,000. That's very easy math. Is 600. So it comes out there were 600 men that were nichshol by the Chet HaEgel. Now how many people died? 3,000. The Pasuk says, Vayipa Mina'am Bayemahu Kishloishas Alfeish. That means 5 times the amount of people that actually worshipped the Egel were the amount of people that were killed. Said the Vilna Gaon. That's Pshat in the Medrash that says, Chamisha Baka Yishalim Tachas Ashar. Oh, because you see that just like if somebody steals a shar and then he's Tavachu Macher, he has to pay 5. That's exactly what happened by the Chet HaEgel. Vayipa Mina'am Bayemahu Kishloishas Alfeish. Hado Dechsiv Chamisha Baka Yishalim Tachas Ashar. Why? Because Adam Echad Me'elef Matzasi, which means 600 people and 3,000. Said the Vilna Gaon, what's the Pshat? Hashem is, this is the way Hashem pays. Hashem does midah keneged midah. Why would he pay 5-fold? So then the Gaon said, because we know the shar is one of the animals that are associated with the Merkava. And he said, when the Yidden were chayta by the Chet HaEgel, they were poigim in the shar. So really, on a pnimiyus digger level, they were geizelish, they stole a shor, and there was a tavach umacher on the shor, and therefore they were chayiv to pay five times, and that's the chamisha baki yisham tachas hashor. But either way, it's all predicated on this idea that adam echem yalef masasti, 1,000 of one out of 1,000 of the yidden worship the isha b'chol eid l'loy matzasi, and it's because of that the women got a yontif. And what's the yontif? They got rish chodesh. What do you mean? Hashem gave, no, Hashem didn't create a yontif, but really rish chodesh was always supposed to be a yontif. Narvas, Hashem said, the men, they sin with the chet ha'egel, they're going to lose it. The women didn't sin with the chet ha'egel, and therefore they have it. The Sfarim say that's why a woman, her body changes every chodesh. It's because she has a unique shaychus to Rish Chodesh, and that's why it happens every chodesh, and that's related to the Olam Haba part that the Medrash says that's going to happen, that the woman is going to be in a schadesh, and this is all a microcosm of that, because that is the matan schar that the woman has because of the fact that she wasn't complicit. She wasn't complicit with the chet ha'egel. The truth is that if you think about it, really this whole idea is very, very enlightening, because when you go through, when you look around, in even a psukim in the Torah, Rish Chodesh feels a little bit like a yontif, but it's not. But it feels like it. Ubiyom simchaschem, uvemoyadechem, uveroshechotchechem, uskatem bechatzoitzris. There was a mitzvah to blow chatzoitzris. When? Ubiyom simchaschem, uvemoyadechem, uveroshechotchechem. Where does Rish Chodesh come in? You say yalav yavoy. I mean, where does it come in? But you see, on a biblical level, really, Rish Chodesh is a shtick of a yontif. You have in the Musafim, right? In the parsha of the Musafim, they used to bring a karma Musaf. And really, the end of parsha is Pinchas. It's all the Yom of Tovim. We throw Barashi Chodesh, right? You have Rish Chodesh. So why is Rish Chodesh? How did it become a yontif? So it's clear that on some level, there's a yontif. There's a loch and shulchan aruch. Mitzvah laharba is besuda b'Rish Chodesh. Why? Why is the mitzvah to be marba besuda? Because a yontif was marba besuda. There's a mitzvah simcha on yontif. And on some level, Rish Chodesh as well. But what happened was, is we lost the yontif. But even though we lost it, but a shtickle of yontif it is. More for the women, that's why they're also b'siyas malacha. That's the Gemara and Megillah Chafez Amid Beis. But at the same time, a little bit, a quasi yontif, it is nonetheless. But the truth is that if you think about it a little bit more, just go down this road, it seems that Rish Chodesh is even more than just the yontif. You know, today we bench Rish Chodesh. What's the whole thing about the whole Rish Chodesh bench? And you rush say milfanecha Hashem alekeinu velekevi seinu shendechadish aleinu as hachodesh hazeh letoive velevracha v'sitein lanu chayim maruchim chayim shal sholem chayim shal. The last time we said the word chayim this many times was on Rosh Hashanah. Zachreinu l'chayim melachavitz b'chayim v'chasveinu b'sefer ha'chayim l'mancha l'kim chayim. We even spoke at a read by once with a chassam sofer who equates the chayims of Rish Chodesh benching to all the chayims of the Yomim Noiram, right? It feels like Yomim Noiram, right? This tefillah, Shetachadish Aleinu as Achodesh Azel Otoive Velevracha, you would think Shetachadish Aleinu as Ashona, Shetachadish Aleinu as Achodesh Azel, you say by Musaf on Rish Chodesh, Rosh Chodeshim La'amcha Nasata, Zman Kaparo L'chol Tol Doisan. Zim Kippur? Zman Kaparo? I mean, it sounds like Rosh Hashanah. Then, a week later, when it's actually Rish Chodesh, you're talking about Yom Kippur, right? This is what it feels like. Zman Kapar L'chol Tol Doisan. What do you do Erev Rish Chodesh? Yom Kippur Katan. Mamash called Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur Katan. It seems like there's a little bit more going on here. So, I had B'siyata D'Shmai, I found that the Chassam Sofer, in his Svarim, but just one Marim Makim, and that is the last Chassam Sofer in Torah Smosha and Parshas Vayera. I think he gave us a little bit of a Pesach to understand this a little. And that is, the Chassam Sofer says, we all know the Pasuk, it's quoted throughout Shas, that the Isha Shunamis, after the whole story with her son, so she starts running to Elisha, right? Elisha grants her a son, and then Nebuch the son died. And she has to run to Elisha and says, this is the bracha you gave me. So she starts running, and her husband sees her. So, Madua Atay Lecha Seyla Vayoyim, why are you going to the Navi today? Loi Chodesh, it's not Rish Chodesh today. For Loi Shabbos, Vatayimah, she said, Shalom. Right? She's going. Vatayimah, Shalom. But he said, Loi Chodesh, for Loi Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Mikan, then Chodesh and Shabbos. And that's how we know, Chai Vodun Labkul, Pnei Rabbi Beregel. And this is a Gemara that's quoted everywhere. Says the Chassam Sofer, this is the last, it's the very, very end, in the Haftorah Parshas Vayera. Vihine, Regilim Hoyu Hanavim, Biyoyim Dedino, Lehispalal Aleim. Yidden used to go to the Nevi'im on the Yom Hadin with his spal. When did the story happen with Chana and Eli? It happened by Rosh Hashanah Nifkeda Chana. We just spoke out that the Sfarim say it happened on Rosh Hashanah. Ubechlauze Kol Yontif v'Rosh Chodesh. You know why? Because Hema Yemei Din. Because they Yemei Din. Yontif is a Yom HaDin. Yeah, it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah we just learned the last week. Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin. The Mishnah says Barba Prokem Ha'Olam Nidayin. What are the four times? So Rosh Hashanah, of course, but then also Al Pesach, Al Tvua, Atzeres, Al Peres, Al Ilon, B'chag Nidayim Al Amayim. So it comes out all Sholish Regalim are really Yemei Din. And the Chassam Sofer says that Rosh Chodesh is also a Yom HaDin. Rosh Chodesh is a Yom HaDin. It's a Yom HaDin for the coming month. That's what it is. It's a Yom HaDin. That's exactly what Rosh Chodesh is. You see, Rosh Chodesh is a Shtikl Yontif. Because it's a Shtikl Yontif, it's also a Shtikl Yom HaDin. Because Yomim Tovim are Yemei HaDin. I thought only Rosh Hashanah. It's a Mishnah. Rosh Hashanah Tezayin Amar Aleph. Barba Prakim Olam Nidayin. That every single Yontif is on some level a Yom HaDin. But the point is that Rosh Chodesh was also a Yom HaDin. And he says, Alkein Amal Aloi Chodesh V'Loi Shabbos. The point was, it's that no, and a Chanami, that's not why I'm going. But either way, but Rosh Chodesh is, and this is something the Chassam Sofer says in a bunch of places, that Rosh Chodesh is a Yom HaDin. And really, that just, it opens up a whole new understanding of Rosh Chodesh. When we say this tefillah, the tefillah of Rav, Shetachadish Aleinu as Achodesh Hazel Toiva Vilevracha. What do you mean? I thought Rosh Hashanah Yechasevim Ubiyom Tzom Kippur Yechasevim. And that's true. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a Yom HaDin for the whole year. But at the same time, every single Chodesh, every single month is a Yom HaDin for that Chodesh. Every single Chodesh is a Yom HaDin. And that's why we have a Tefillah, Shetachadish Aleinu as Achodesh Hazel Toiva Vilevracha. V'sintein Lanu Chaim Maruchin Chaim Shal Sholim. On a Yom HaDin, we daven for Chaim. And it's not for Tefuah. It's not for Peres or Elon. It's not for Mayim. It sounds like it's for Chayim. And that's certainly what it feels like. Sman kapor l'chol todesim. It's a Yom HaDin. And as a result, it's an opportunity for Slicha Mechila. And that's why there's an idea to go into to the Rosh Chodesh with the Yom Kippur Katan. It's just a whole different understanding of what this is. I was thinking about it even more. Think of Yalav V'Yavai. Right? What's the tefillah of Yalav V'Yavai that we incorporate into Shmoneh Esrei? Elikeinu v'leikei aviseinu. Yalav V'Yavai. V'yagia v'yeroe v'yerotze v'yishama v'yipokit. V'yisocher zichroineinu v'fikdoineinu. V'zichron aviseinu. V'zichron Mashiach min David avdecho. V'zichron Yerushalayim rekodshecho. V'zichron kolamcho beis. It's literally zichronus. Malchus shofres and zichronus. We're about to learn the sugyas in a few days. It's mamish zichronus. It's Rosh Hashanah. I mean, that's mamish what it sounds like. It's Rosh Hashanah to get tefillah. L'fleito, l'toiva, l'chein, l'chesed, l'rachamim, l'chaim toivim, l'shalim. Rosh Chodesh. Today is, you say Yalav V'Yavai, you forgot to say Yalav, that's mamash what it is. But the truth is, Rosh Chodesh is a yontif. It's not just a yontif, it's a Yom HaDin. And that's why we're speaking Shprach, that's Yom HaDin de Gishprach. I saw in the drushes from Rabbi Lazar Fleckless, this is in his Sefer Chazoyin Lamayid. It's Chazoyin Yud Beis. Sounds like Navuas. But it's in his Sefer Chazoyin Lamayid. It's Chazoyin Yud Beis. A Teich Dvarov, he says something beautiful. He says that we say in Yalav V'Yavai, Zachreinu boi l'toiva, ufakteinu boi l'vracha, v'ishniyenu boi l'chayim toivim. So he says, what's the pshat? Zachrein, three things. Meaning, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for toiva, for bracha, and for chayim. But it's a shtickle repetitive. Zachreinu Hashem aleikeinu boi l'toiva, ufakteinu boi l'vracha, v'ishniyenu boi l'chayim toivim. Couldn't we just have said, Zachreinu Hashem aleikeinu boi l'toiva, v'levracha, v'lechayim toivim. So he says a davar nifla based on something that it says in the Shla. The Shla HaKadosh, and this is a Masechtas Chulin. If you want to see it inside, it's Sif Katan Nuntes. So he quotes the Darshei Rishumais, the Mekubalim. He says the Darshei Rishumais said that a Yid is supposed to take his day and he's divided into thirds. He says a third of a person's day is supposed to be Torah V'Avodah. Third of the day is Parnasa. And then a third of a day, he sleeps, does things that he has to do. But a person is supposed to divide his day into three. And he said, similar davar, the pasuk says, oz taskil. There's another pasuk that says, oz tatsliach. And it also says, oz tishan. Oz is bigamatria 8, aleph zayin. Oz taskil. A yid has to be involved in taskil and Torah and avodah for 8 hours. Oz tatsliach. A person should be involved in a Yoni Parnasa on Hashem Atzlichana for 8 hours. And Oz Tishan, a Mishlof, Achshay Zaychid, you know, Lerabbis, everything that's involved with that. But the point is, there's an idea of Oz. Oz taskil, oz tatsliach, oz tishan. So Belozov, like Le said, that lefiza yesh loyma, that's the remez over here too. He says, you're supposed to divide your day into three. Zachreinu Hashem aleikeinu boi letoiva. Ufakteinu voi levracha vayishenu voi lechaim teiva. You're davening for three things. Zachreinu Hashem aleikeinu boi letoiva. You're davening for hatzlacha in your ruchnias. Ufakteinu voi levracha. That's bracha baruch aleinu Hashem aleikeinu as hashana. Right, you're asking for hatzlacha in parnasa. Vayishenu voi lechaim teiva. You're asking for hatzlacha in all your other inyanim. And what's the remez? Zachreinu Hashem aleikeinu boi. Boy is Beis Vav, it's also eight. So Zachreinu Hashem Aleikeinu Boy, for those 8 hours that I learned Torah, the Oz Taskel, it should be Latoiva. Ufakteinu Voy Livracha. And the 8 hours, the Oz Tatsliach, it should be Boy, Beis Vav, it should be Livracha. Vaishnienu Voy. And in terms of everything else, the Oz Tishan, it should also be. This is Yalav, it just gives a whole different ponim to Yalav Yavai. But that's the concept. The concept is that Rosh Chodesh is a shtikla yontif. It's a shtikla yoy madin. It's a shtikla Rosh Hashanah. It's a shtikla, it's a Yom Kippur. The women have the schus that they have more of a shaykhis to Rosh Chodesh than we do. But at the same time, go through Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. Very short, very light, very easy. But at the same time, Mitzvah Laharbis Besuda, I was going through the Menhagim of the Chassam Sofer to see how he Pravid Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh was a yontif. It was a day that he treated be'ema b'yira b'reses u'v'zeya. Because the truth is, a person has an ability to accomplish a lot on Rosh Chodesh. And just to end, I saw in the Sefer Raptuni b'tapuchim. That's from Rav Shloima Arieli Shlita. So he has a few pages on Rosh Chodesh, specifically on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. And he says something beautiful. He says that if you ever notice, when Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh, so there's a different nusach ha'tfilah. So what's the nusach ha'tfilah? What do you say by Musaf on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? You say, Ati Yitzarta. Right? Ati Yitzarta Ilon Cham Yikedem. And then in the middle, you start saying, Ulefisha Chaton Ulefanecha, Anachnu Vaviseinu, Chorva Yireinu, Veshomein Beis Mikdashenu, Vegoli Yikoreinu, Venutal Kovim Mi Beis Chayenu, Vein Anachnu Yichoylem, Lasu Yischoy Viseinu, Beveis Bechir Asech, בבית הגדול והקדוש שניקר שמחלנו ירוצים לפניך השם אלוקינו שתעלינו בשמחה לארצנו וציתנו בגבולנו. It sounds familiar, right? We say this nusach literally once in a blue moon. But the truth is, this nusach sounds familiar. It sounds like umepnei chatoenu, right? That's what we say by musif. Umepnei chatoenu gilinu marzenu. ונשרחק ירוצים לפניך השם אלוקינו מלך רחם שתושב ושרחים עלינו. So he said, שמעתי. I heard from an Adam Gadol that said, that what's the pshat? Why do we incorporate this into Musaf Rosh Chodesh? On Shabbos, we don't say, Umepnei Chata'enu. On Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, Lamchen Asato, we don't say, Umepnei Chata'enu. On Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, we say, Umepnei Chata'enu. We say a Yontiftig at Musaf. It's Mamish Yontiftig. The Niggin is Yontiftig. That during the week too. But it's a Yontiftig at Inu. What's the pshat? So he said the pshat is because Rosh Chodesh once upon a time was a yontif. It was a real yontif. But because of the Chet Egel, we lost that on that yontif. But even though we lost that because of the Chet Egel, when there's going to be a tikkun in the world, and the Chet of the Egel is going to be fixed, it's going to be corrected, so it's going to come out that Rosh Chodesh is going to be a yontif again. Shabbos is doch me'ein lo'asid lavoi. It's me'ein oylam haba. It's me'ein the yom shekulei toiv, yom shekulei Shabbos. That's why Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we daven yontif dig. Because on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh is going to really be yontif. And he said, yesh lahoysef al zeh. The minig in Klal Yisrael is that before you say musaf on Rosh Chodesh during the week, you take off your tefillin. He says, why do you take off your tefillin? What's pshat? You wear your tefillin the whole day, and now all of a sudden you're taking off your tefillin. You're middle davening. Take off your tefillin. Al rishoyin amanu mitzdarim after davening, you take it off. He said, because what we're trying to show is that Rosh Chodesh is going to be a yontif. And even though it's not a yontif now, but it's a yontif in mikzas. On yontif, you don't wear tefillin. And that's why when you daven musaf on Rosh Chodesh, you give a clap, and you take your tefillin off. Because Rosh Chodesh is yontif. And on yontif, you don't wear tefillin.